It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. A proposal to create a marine sanctuary in the waters of Lake Michigan is back on the table. That's thanks to support from Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. The designation includes more than 1,000 square miles of Lake Michigan. They're along Kewaunee, Manitowoc, Sheboygan, and Ozaukee counties. The plan came out back in 2015, ran into concerns a couple of years later, and now may have some new life. What questions do you have about shipwrecks along Lake Michigan? Do you think it's important to preserve them, or are you worried the costs outweigh the benefits? 800-642-1234 is the number to call so you can weigh in. Our guest today is Kathy Green. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. She's also an underwater archaeologist. Kathy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Help us understand the scope of this proposed sanctuary. How big is it really?
It covers about 100 miles of shoreline along the mid-Lake Michigan coast here. And as you said, nearly 1,000 square miles. So covering that mid-Lake region. And it really builds on a lot of the work that the state of Wisconsin has been doing for nearly 60 years in documenting and researching the shipwrecks in the state.
Yeah, so what's underneath the surface along off the coast of these 100 miles of Wisconsin?
It's an absolutely fantastic collection of shipwrecks. So these are vessels that were built and sank in the 1800s and early 1900s and really comprise a collection of a good representation of the kinds of vessels that sailed the lakes in that time.
And what does a designation of a National Marine Sanctuary actually change about how we might interact with Lake Michigan?
Well, it's a really great program that brings together a state and a national program into a partnership. So the state regulations, the kind of norms that are already there will continue to be there. But with a National Marine Sanctuary designation, it will allow some extra protection for those shipwreck sites, but also kind of bring an umbrella to promote these sites and elevate the maritime history to a national scale.
What about things like commercial or charter fishing on Lake Michigan? Does any of that change in this area?
You know, for this proposal, it doesn't. Each marine sanctuary has different regulations and manages a different resource. So what might be the case, say, off the coast of New England, where the fisheries are more critical to what is in the sanctuary and the resources that they're looking at out there, here the folks at NOAA are just looking at the cultural resources, the shipwrecks themselves. So fishing won't be impacted. Commercial uses won't be impacted.
We've heard some big numbers coming from supporters of this move, something like $10 million added in tourism revenue. What does marine sanctuary tourism look like?
Well, and the good thing is, or the really great thing that we can look to as an example, is there is another National Marine Sanctuary in the Great Lakes. It's over on Lake Huron, up in Alpena, Michigan. And, you know, and that's been there for well over 10 years now. So in looking at the community there, you see a visitor center has been established, and they get nearly 100,000 people a year to that, which has an impact not only for the visitor center itself, but the whole town. Now, you know, this is not a tourism program. This is a resource management program. But, again, it's an education and an interpretation focus. And so by its nature, it's going to draw attention and also hopefully bring people to the area. You know, I think the name sanctuary seems like something that would keep people out, but that's exactly the opposite of what this proposal does. It encourages people to visit, and it also links together a lot of these different resources into something that tells one big story about our history.
I'm glad you mentioned the word sanctuary. It does feel like something that is clearly protected, preserved, not to be touched, stay away from, because we want to protect it. And you're saying, actually, this could create opportunities for things like even research?
Absolutely. So, from our understanding and the communities, and you know, it's important to note that it is the Lakeshore communities and the state of Wisconsin that put forward this proposal to NOAA. It is important to note that research has been going on along the lakes for a long time. The state of Wisconsin has an absolutely fantastic program through the Wisconsin Historical Society looking at these shipwrecks. And having a national marine sanctuary will just bring additional resources to bear on that research. And while the protected resource they're looking at is the shipwrecks themselves, you can still have other research going on. So mapping the bottom of the lakes, looking at the fisheries, it's just going to provide more information for managers to look at the different systems around the lake.
Kathy Green is an underwater archaeologist, and she's the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're looking for your input. Do you live in northeastern Wisconsin? Do you support a national marine sanctuary along the shores of Lake Michigan? How important is the lake to your identity, the success of your lakeshore community? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. That number again, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Kathy, you mentioned that the proposal, the designation, would protect shipwrecks in the area. What laws and regulations do we already have to preserve those shipwrecks beneath the surface of the Great Lakes?
Yeah, well, there are several layers that are in place. There are state statutes protecting cultural resources on state bottomlands. There's also the Abandoned Shipwreck Act of 1987. That's a federal layer of protection that kind of codifies that shipwrecks on state bottomlands indeed belong to the state. So that's also there. What's also really interesting, and I think helped to move this proposal to a place where NOAA really took attention to it, is that there are a number, I believe 16 and maybe 17 or 18 by this point, shipwrecks in this area that are on the National Register of Historic Places, which is a national designation as well.
And before we tried to protect these shipwrecks, what happened to them? How were they damaged or altered?
Yeah, so wrecks have been visited for decades, and certainly with the advent of scuba gear that made it much more accessible for folks to get down there, people have been visiting these sites. But before before the Abandoned Shipwreck Act was in place, the state statutes just weren't widely known. And so the culture, or kind of the norms, you know, of taking souvenirs was much more prevalent. So things have been taken. And as an archaeologist and as a historian, you know, removing things from a site, It's kind of like taking pages from a book. You can't really know the whole story when things have been moved around or removed. The great thing about these shipwrecks is that they're time capsules. Everything that was on them in that particular day will still be there. And so you really can piece together a really compelling story, but it's a much more full and interesting story when you have all of those pieces there.
Let's take a call now. Marcus in Milwaukee, what question do you have about this marine sanctuary on Lake Michigan?
So I went to UWM, studied political science and history, and I wrote my thesis on World War II. And I was wondering if the marine sanctuary was going to cover any of the sunken fighter planes that the Navy has on the bottom of Lake Michigan, because during World War II, they trained pilots to land on aircraft carriers on Lake Michigan, and I was just wondering if any of those were going to be protected. The second thing is that about time capsules, Bob Ballard, the guy who discovered the Titanic, said that there's probably, at the bottom of the oceans and lakes of the world, there's probably more history than in all the museums of the world.
Marcus, thanks for that call. Kathy, will this marine sanctuary extend beyond shipwrecks to other things like perhaps sunken planes?
Perhaps, yeah, absolutely. So what's really exciting is that with the National Marine Sanctuary and the scientific resources brought to bear to that, we're going to be able to go out and find out more about what's on the bottom. That includes sunken aircraft, that includes a lot of other parts of the maritime landscape that extends beyond shipwrecks. And actually, the planes would still be under the purview of the Navy, but working together with them, absolutely, bringing that story to life is really important. And actually, the Navy and NOAA has been out in southern Lake Michigan taking a look just at that kind of resource. So I think we're at a point where we're entering a new era of being able to do more of this research. The technology is so much more accessible. As you mentioned, there's an incredible amount of history that's just below the waves. And nowadays, it's much more easier to get there. It's estimated that there are over 6,000 shipwrecks in the Great Lakes. Some people have that number up to over 25,000. But we know there are thousands of these sites out there. And because the preservation is so absolutely fantastic in the cold, fresh water, we have the opportunity here to be able to go out and collect information from these things that you just can't do other places.
We're talking about the proposed National Marine Sanctuary in Lake Michigan along Wisconsin's shoreline with underwater archaeologist Kathy Green. And we want to hear from you. What do you want to know about or study in the Great Lakes shipwrecks? Why do you think it's important to protect them? Do you think this designation does anything? 800-642-1234. I'm Keeley Boltina, and it's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina, and we're talking about a proposed National Marine Sanctuary in Lake Michigan off the coast of Wisconsin. It includes 38 known shipwrecks and another, 95 yet to be explored and confirmed. Advocates say it's an opportunity to preserve history, promote tourism, encourage education. And others are concerned the designation gives too many different authorities too much power. Are you a commercial fisherman or someone who frequents the Great Lakes? Do you run into protected areas? What do you think? 800-642-1234. Maybe you live far from the shoreline in another part of Wisconsin. Do you think a marine sanctuary is the right move? You can email ideas@wpr.org. We're talking about the proposal with Kathy Green, executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. Kathy, there's some history here. Former Governor Scott Walker put forth this marine sanctuary proposal, and then he rescinded it later because he was concerned the designation would add unnecessary red tape for people in the Lake Michigan waters. Is a national marine sanctuary for this area kind of redundant?
Well, again, I think this is a perfect example to build upon what is already a really strong program. Believe it or not, Wisconsin, which a lot of people, on the East and West Coast isn't the first thing that comes to mind when they think of a maritime state. Wisconsin has one of the best underwater archaeology programs in the country. They've been documenting these things for years, and to build upon that, I think is something that certainly the state is interested in doing, and it really just helps us elevate our resources on a national scale, which they certainly are.
How do you see the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, in Manitowoc, where you're executive director, how do you see that interacting or involved with the Marine Sanctuary if it's approved?
Well, the mission of the Marine Sanctuary and the state's underwater archaeology program dovetail really neatly with our mission to promote the maritime heritage of Wisconsin. So, we see ourselves as storytellers, as well as the protectors of objects and manuscripts and things like that. So through physical items, we're able to tell stories. So the more information we have about the shipwrecks out in the lakes, the better we're able to tell those stories. We want to be that outlet where these stories come alive for folks.
And speaking of stories, how about you tell us about one of them? Can you describe for us the Christmas tree ship? What do we know here?
Sure. So this is one of the sites that's in the proposed sanctuary. The Ruth Simmons was a Great Lakes schooner. So these were the type of wooden-hulled sailing vessels that you saw in the Great Lakes throughout the 19th century. It has a unique and a really compelling story. And you know, one thing that people ask when they say, gosh, you study these tragedies, these terrible things. Well, you know what? The stories of these vessels that didn't reach their final destination can tell the story of all those who did, the tens of thousands of vessels that brought people and goods to this area and helped to make the Midwest what it is today. So the Ruth Simmons was one of those ships. It was built in 1868, and it actually had sailed for over 50 years when it left northern Michigan in 1912. Now, it was a lumber schooner. Lumber, of course, and timber, one of the main commodities coming out of the Midwest. And what the Ruth Simmons did is on its last trip of the year, it would take on a load of Christmas trees in northern Michigan and take it down to Chicago, which was one of the busiest ports in the world. And so they were on their annual trip in November down to the port of Chicago. And these vessels that brought down Christmas trees, they would tie up in the Chicago River and kind of be floating Christmas tree, places to sell these trees and for people to come and get them. And the Schuneman brothers had been doing this for years. They were sailing down to Chicago in the Ruth Simmons when they got into some trouble and the ship disappeared. For years, no one knew where it was. Although Christmas trees did wash up on shore.
Oh, my goodness.
For years they did. And it gets even more astounding in that in 1923, the captain's wallet came up in a fisherman's net.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, again, like people knew this ship. They knew its story because it was such a well-known vessel.
From the mid-1800s.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It really is. It really is. And then in the 1970s, a local diver located the wreck just off Two Rivers, Wisconsin, just north of Manitowoc. And since then, the Wisconsin Historical Society has done some archaeological investigations on it. It's sitting in about 165 feet of water, so it is something that's fairly reachable by divers. And it's still sitting there upright on the bottom with the Christmas trees still in the hold.
Wow. That is just an incredible example of one of the shipwrecks that we're looking at being part of a proposed National Marine Sanctuary that runs along four counties here in Wisconsin. That's the focus of our conversation right now with Kathy Green. She's an underwater archaeologist and also the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. The proposal we talked about has some history with this sanctuary. The renewed proposal includes Kewaunee County. That's an addition to Manitowoc, Sheboygan, and Ozaukee counties. Why is it important to add that northernmost county there?
Well, you know, I don't know the full history of how that change came into place, but the folks in Kewaunee County had taken note of this proposal and had been interested in supporting it and being a part of it. There are shipwrecks all along this Lake Michigan coast. So within the box of the proposed sanctuary and outside of it, there are resources. Up in Kewaunee County, those folks were really interested in being a part of this. So it's been incorporated into the proposal.
And does a federal marine sanctuary, if it came through, would it come with federal resources or support for certain areas then?
It's my understanding that certainly is the case. Like I said before, each sanctuary is different, and so the presence in the communities is going to be different from sanctuary to sanctuary. What we, the communities who put this forward, really like about the approach that we're taking is that it incorporates all these different communities along the lake, from Port Washington up to now probably Algoma. So rather than a single presence, what we foresee is a unified presence along the coast.
Last week, Governor Evers spoke at a press conference about this renewal of the proposal, voiced his support for the designation. He was surrounded by government officials at many different levels. What do we know about how local government leaders from lakeshore communities are working on or connected to this marine sanctuary?
Sure. Well, the mayors of or city managers of these towns have been involved in a community working group that's preparing that prepared the designation and had been working with NOAA prior to when Walker rescinded his support, had been working with NOAA to move the proposal forward. So there are letters of support from city governments, from Port Washington, Sheboygan, Manitowoc, Two Rivers. So there is a lot of support within the communities themselves. Again, they're the ones who really came together to pitch this idea in the first place.
All right. We'll keep an eye on those partnerships and see where it goes from here. Kathy, thank you for breaking it down for us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Kathy Green is the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. She's also an underwater archaeologist. And we've been talking about a proposal to designate areas of Lake Michigan along Wisconsin a national marine sanctuary. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.